Psalm 116 is one of those psalms where David begins agitated, and he concludes in verse 7, "Return to your rest, my soul, for Yahweh has dealt bountifully with you." So this is often how prayer goes, isn't it? That you begin praying in a sudden frame of mind, and it's as if during the process of prayer, the answer actually comes, or if it doesn't come, all the same, your soul, as it were, calms down. And so David is talking to himself, and prayer is, in a sense, self-talk. This is David in prayer, and he says, "Return to your rest, my soul, for Yahweh has dealt bountifully with you." So self-talk and prayer to God sort of merge. This is why we must not understand prayer to simply be firing off a list of requests. As you learn from the Psalms, prayer is meditation. Prayer is open discussion with God, not simply firing a list of requests and hoping that you might get 1 out of 10 kind of thing. That is a very immature view. So, why does he return to his rest? Well, he remembers, verse 6, that Yahweh preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. And he may be thinking about what happened in his sin with Bathsheba. Because he says in verse 5, Yahweh is gracious and righteous, yes, our God is merciful. So the grace of God and the righteousness of God go together, as Paul brings out in Romans 1-8. God's forgiveness of us and his grace is not turning a blind eye. The wonder of how it all works out is that God shows grace to the sinner and counts the sinner righteous by imputed righteousness in a completely legitimate way. And no other legal system could do this. This isn't sort of just clever legalese, as it were. This is God working with the ultimate integrity as the ultimately just God. So we read here that our God is merciful, and the word is the word for compassion. And yet in Deuteronomy 30, verse 13, we're told that God would be compassionate to Israel when they repented. But it does seem that there are examples of God being compassionate anyway. You have one, in, if you want to look it up, in 2 Kings 13, 23, where although Israel had not repented, God was all the same compassionate to them. So his compassion is the sort of compassion that a father has for his children. And again, you see this in the prophecies of the restoration in Jeremiah 30, 31, 33, where likewise this word is used, that God would be compassionate. Solomon says in Proverbs that God is compassionate to the repentant. And yes, this is what it says in Deuteronomy 30, under the law of Moses, this is how it was. But what I'm saying is that God's compassion is also part of his character. And therefore, there are examples of where God shows this compassion, or mercy, being merciful, as David puts it here. He shows that anyway, even without human repentance. And although David did repent over Bathsheba, and Uriah, I think that he comes to realize that actually this feature of compassion is part of God's character. And he therefore shows it to his children, actually at times, without their repentance. It's like God also uses the term overlooking, that God overlooks iniquity. And I think that that perhaps implies that there may not be specific repentance, but God still overlooks it. If you've had any experience of family life, hour by hour, minute by minute, you soon learn this, that there are things that you overlook, and you overlook them rather than saying, look, fess up and say sorry, fess up and repent, you did this, you did that. You have to overlook. And why do you do this, and why does it actually come natural to you? Because of love. You are compassionate to your children. You overlook things. If you have love for them, rather than demanding that every specific failure is gone into and is confessed and dealt with, etc. Now, that is how God deals with us, because it is absolutely facile and arrogant to consider that you have repented for your sins. Of course you haven't, because, as David says, forgive me for my secret sins, the sins that I do not really recognize. There are such a thing as sins of ignorance, and you may well die with them. It's no good saying, yeah, well, I repented of them when I realized I was doing wrong. Well, maybe so far, but you're not going to die perfect. You're going to die with your unrepented sins, with your sins of ignorance, and that's how we all come to the day of judgment. So there is a range of ways in which God deals with human sin. He can just forgive, or he overlooks. And that overlooking, that basic human compassion or being merciful, is, I think, something that is to be reflected in us. It has to be. And in fact, if it isn't, you'll find life pretty hard going if you are going to endlessly take up the matter, as is said, with everybody who crosses your path. I'm not saying that you just turn a blind eye to human misbehavior towards you and abuse towards you and simply shrug it off. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. Of course, there has to be dialogue, there has to be raising of some issues. That is true. I'm talking perhaps more on a rather more mundane day-to-day level. And yet, all the same, this basic compassion, this being merciful that David is so comforted by in the course of his prayer as he reflects upon it, it is that which should be a lead characteristic of each of us.